Ladies and gentlemen,
show is about
to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And good evening. Welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. My name is Brad, the guy back there in the cave. His name is...
Captain Caveman!
And my co-host, Mr. Gimpy Matt. Magic Perfect Gimpy Matt. Matt, are you hanging in there after your surgery last week?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm all right.
Okay, good.
As good as I can be anyway.
It's not affecting it's not going to affect your show performance tonight, is it?
No. The only hard part is where to put my leg and be comfortable with it.
It's funny you say that because I was thinking about empathizing with you tonight. There's so much crap under the studio table still, by the way. Hope your drummer lives, by the way.
there's a stool here and I don't.
Don't move that stool.
I don't want. I got to be careful. That's it. Don't move the stool, and also don't bump the Christmas lights that are under the table. What is this?
You can bump the Christmas lights. Just don't move the stool.
You should see this. I mean, I should seriously tweet a picture of this crap.
Hang on here. Send me a picture.
I will. Hang on here. First of all, I'm going to put my foot up to empathize with you. There.
Yes.
Now my foot. I'll even take a picture of this now. Here. I'll take it during the break. Remember to take it during the break. Ow. Except now my. Under my knee is strained. This isn't.
Yeah, don't hurt yourself.
I might need surgery before it's all over with. Okay. So anyway, let's begin the show with one of my favorite ways to begin the show. Break out my 45, little record play here, and song we haven't heard for a while. And here we go. Hello, Matt.
Hello. I'm here to say hello. I was gone, but not for long, so now I'm back to sing this song. Hello. I'm going to say goodbye. You're out, I'm even, now I'm leaving. Don't just stop to wonder why. Hello. Let's get on with the show. I've got to blow, look out below, cause now it's time for me to go. Hello. We're getting near the end. You must be knowing now I'm going. No more precious time to spend. Hello. It's over with and done. I just dropped in to leave again. I hope you had a lot of fun. Hello. I'm on my merry way.
Yeah, not game.
But as we part, you have some heart. We might just say goodbye one day.
Yeah, now this. Let's see here.
Yes, this is an answer to your last note. This is Amy.
I was wondering, what do you think about this? I mean, you do such a good imitation of her. What do you think? Why don't we play a couple of lines, and then we'll see if you can imitate it here to start the show. What do you think? Okay, you ready?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Stand by here. Here we go.
Yes, this is an answer to your last note. This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Okay.
I love how she starts with no accent and goes into the accent. It's like... Hi, this is an answer to your last note. This is Amy, if you don't remember.
I don't know what the deal was with her back then. I really don't. Let me click pause this playback. There we go. You want to try again? Let one more time. All right, I'll stop it after she says, yeah, this is Amy. There we go.
Yes, this is an answer to your last note.
Okay.
Yes, this is an answer to your last note.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am. I just called to talk and set up like an exchange time.
I just called to talk and just like set up an exchange time.
This is going to get really good. Here we go.
Fine. Just give me a call when you get home.
Just give me a call when you get home.
Yeah, home. That's good.
712-274-3337.
712-274-3337. Don't forget to say.
Wait.
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 Hell. Yes. And I just want to talk to you. That's all.
Oh. Yes. And I just want to talk to you. That's all.
That's all. Just call me when you get home.
Just call me when you get home.
I love this.
Even do it collect if you want.
We can do it collect. I'm in Lamar's, Iowa. What do we do? You want to do that line?
Yes, yes, I do. Okay. You can even, you know, can I get back into character now?
Yes, please do.
Calm down.
Yes.
Can you play that part again? Or is it screwed? No, don't worry.
Sorry.
About it.
Sorry.
You can even call collect if you want.
Okay.
I was just thinking about you. Just give me a call.
I was just thinking about you. Just give me a call.
I just wanted you to know that your last little note just really made me mad.
I just wanted you to know that your last little note really made me mad.
You got to kind of slur when you say, I just wanted you to know, because you're kind of drunk. You have to slur. I just wanted you to know. Can you do that?
Let you know that your last note really made me mad.
Okay, good.
But that probably doesn't matter.
But that probably doesn't matter. There's the
but
line.
Just call. Goodbye.
But just call.
Just call. Goodbye.
Yeah, I like it.
Dear Brad, you're awesome. Regards, Brad.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. So here we are. Here we are. I had to play that very briefly. We were talking about her again. That clip got so much play after last week's show. Everybody seemed to enjoy that. And so I thought we'd start the show again. We were talking before we started the show about all the crazy things she did to me the first time we got separated. I mean, she switched my contact lenses around in the case on purpose, and I didn't know it. So, yeah, and then she also put something in my shampoo that was going to do something to me, and she eventually, I think, called me ahead of time before I used it or something like that, because she was feeling the guilt, I guess. So
What'd you put in your shampoo?
I don't remember. It was probably nothing. It was probably just, she probably just said that to scare me. It's probably all it was. I don't know. I don't know. Let's move on to more important things, like this guy. I'm so excited. I mean,
you love him.
Yeah, I do. I do. This guy is the bomb.
I've been walking these streets so long.
And never mind the fact that he can't remember his name now. I mean, I love him. And I've been wanting and wanting to see Glen Campbell in concert for years. And I grew up on Glen Campbell. Absolutely love Glen Campbell. And it was probably 10, 12 years ago or so, Christy and I were going to go see him in concert at one of the casinos here. And, we had our tickets and everything. And then a month or so before the concert, Glen Campbell got his first public DWI.
Oops.
And the concert was canceled or changed, and they gave refunds, and we got our money back, and then never did get a chance to see him. So turned out that the Rhinestone Cowboy himself is going to be in town here at the Uptown Theater later this month, here in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Believe it or not, I spent an arm and a leg, almost as much as I did on my LASIK surgery, maybe not quite that much, but I spent a lot of money on my ticket to go see Glen Campbell, and I'm going, this may come as a shock to you knowing how close I am to my wife, but I am going by myself to see Glen Campbell.
And, are you really?
Yeah, I really am. Yeah, I know I am.
Oh.
I am. But don't even get me started, okay? Don't even get me
so
started.
Sad.
It's kind of sad, but you know what? Honestly, I've said this before. I'm kind of a shy guy.
I don't even care, do you?
Kind of a loner. I don't really care. Yeah. I really don't care. There are some people that go to movies alone.
I've done that.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably do that. I liken this to going to a movie alone, too. I mean, I just,
yeah.
I don't mind. I mean, I'm really the big fan. I mean, the guy is 76 years old. It is going to be a rough concert. I mean, because he does need a lot of help. But I'm really looking forward to seeing him. And I think, you know, in the long run, maybe I'll enjoy it more by myself anyway. I really don't know. But the biggest problem is my wife just can't leave our daughter with somebody. That's the problem. She has to stay home with her. You talk about mother henning. I mean, she just can't. I mean,
well, maybe you know, it's only weird if you go by yourself. If you're the only one like standing up in the aisle too, and
yeah,
like everybody else is just sitting down enjoying it, but you're standing up yeah. and really getting into the music.
Yeah.
Then that's a little weird.
That would be a little bit weird. I have thought about buying a 10 gallon hat, but Glenn Campbell's not a cowboy hat wearing guy either. You know, I mean,
no.
He's from Oklahoma, if I recall correctly, originally. But he also, you know, filled in for Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys back in the 60s at one point. I mean, he's done a lot of different things. He's just a musician at heart. And I just love his voice. He's a great guitar player, too. Me wearing a cowboy hat to that would probably be a little bit out of sorts. But
a little bit.
Thinking about it, though. I was thinking about it. Maybe.
You know what reminds me of when I hear that song, though? And you talking about him was our old station days. But didn't we have old 45s back in the...
Oh, yeah.
Back off the AM studio.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you were like enlightening me to all this music I'd never heard before, like Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
It's some Eddie Rabbit, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do vaguely remember that. That's true. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, all those songs were back on 45 in the day. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. So I'll definitely give the full report after I get a chance to see one of my idols. This is like the last chance. You know, I mean, yeah. He's 76. I mean, I'm just praying to God he makes it through the next couple of weeks so I can go see him, you know, because as luck would have it, like I said, as it's been so far, the opportunities have kind of been missed so far. But trying to think. Oh, you know, one more thing about the radio days. You mentioned that something last week on the show that I didn't get a chance to bring up. And you had brought this up on Twitter months ago, and I had totally forgotten about it. Tell people about the BJ Bradley story. Where did that come from? Where did that title? Did you come up with that? I think you did.
I did. Yeah. I did. Well, you know, it was. I had an assignment in school, and part of it was. And it must have been some futuristic biography deal.
Okay.
And at the time, I wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I was writing about myself as a writer, and one of the things that I had accomplished in my futuristic imaginary writing career was the. Pot Me Up, the BJ Bradley story. It was the autobiography of BJ Bradley.
It was awesome.
I actually put that in an assignment.
That is so funny. I mean, I'm still honored to this day. And I think the title is awesome. So
it's perfect because it came from when I'd be board hopping for you.
Yeah.
I'm in the studio and then you're out at a bowling alley or wherever else doing your remote.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't do what normal DJs do most of the time. You wouldn't just talk at certain points. You would be like, in the middle of a song, you'd be like, Pot Me Up. And I, for no reason, I don't know what's going on in your head or what you want to say or sing along to, but I would pot you up and put you on the air, and you'd always do that. Pot Me Up. Pot Me Up.
That's right. I would say that in the middle of songs. That's true.
Yep.
Yeah, I never got fired for it either. Thank God. Yeah. Because God knows I needed my $1,000 a month salary that I was getting back then. So, Pot Me Up, the BJ Bradley story. I can't wait till the movie comes out. It's going to be cool.
who's gonna play BJ Bradley?
That is a tough one. We're going to have to continue to think about that.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll cast that in the weeks to come.
I mean, I'm leaning towards Jason Statham or Bruce Willis, but somewhere in that neck of the woods, you know.
You've always been a big Bruce Willis fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I have been. So who knows? Maybe, but he's going to be a little old to play the young BJ Bradley. But
yeah, you're going to have to find. He could play Brad Westmar.
He could that exactly the old guy, the guy with the old man's vision. Yeah,
with his mono vision.
Exactly,
LASIK.
Exactly. Mono vision just doesn't. It doesn't sound. Old. It does. It does. It sounds wrong. It really does.
I think monocle when I hear it.
Do you?
Yeah, when I hear them, like you're walking around with some monocle.
See. I don't know. It's getting better though, so that's good. Now something else. I'm gonna put myself on a pedestal. Will you stop squeaking your chair in there, please? What are you doing in there? You whacking it? What are you doing?
My chair. I can't help it.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Every time I move.
Squeak. Let me see here. I sent you
Golly.
The. All right, you just stay back there in the back. At least the microphone smells better this week. Man. Yeah. So I sent Matt the picture. I'll put this on bradwestmar.com here in a little while of me. My leg, I should say, being propped up on the stool that's under the broadcast table. I mean, it's just, this place.
Sympathy.
Yeah. I'm trying to be sympathetic anyway. So there's a story, and I'm not sure if this story is going to translate well to the radio world, but we're going to put me on a pedestal one more time and talk about me a little bit more. And then we're going to go ahead here, take a break, and come back. And I want to do this Twitter analysis that we've talked about. We've got a website, and it basically will, you can, what Matt's going to do is he's going to plug in some of our Twitter feeds, and that Twitter, that's going to give us an analysis of what that person is like, basically. Is that the best way to put it? Kind of a...
Basically it gives you a score from 1 to 100 in different categories, like emotional style, and it talks about how, you know, your different emotions in, within the tweets, and then your social style and your thinking style, and there's about 12 scores altogether, 11 scores, something like that.
Was there any scores like wacko or narcissistic or anything like that?
No, it just says, like for social style, there's a category for plugged in or personable, arrogant,
okay,
spacey.
Good enough. Okay.
They give you a score on 1 to 100 based on how spacey you are.
Can't wait to see what they say about Jackalope Radio's tweets. That'll be good. That'll be good. But before we do that, this is a story real quick that I've never told on the radio before. It's come to light more in my personal life because of my mom, and I'll get to that here in a minute. And Matt, you've been saying you've been wanting, you've seen this on the chart of future show things to do, and you've been wanting and wanting and wanting to know what this story is. I hope I don't let you down. Okay.
I'm excited about it, and I hope I didn't build it up too much in my own head.
Well, I think you'll be able to relate because you and I first met at Pulaski Park baseball fields in Sioux City, Iowa, where we both grew up. And
correct.
We were umpiring Little League baseball games back then.
Yep.
And we've told that story before on the air. And you might recall that back around that time, or maybe more so when I was in Little League, around 1982, 1983, there was a lady there that ran the show named Shardell Reinders. Do you know that name?
Oh, yeah. Yep, okay. I remember her.
Okay, good, good. Well, back in the day, when I was 11, 12 years old, I was, again, a big kid. I've always been a big guy until about 1996 or so, until I got divorced from Amy. So, you know, and God bless her. We love her. So, oops, that was the end of it. Sorry. Anyway, wanted to play her voice again. That's...
Yes, this is an answer to your last note.
I got to get some clips pulled off there. That's a good idea,
yes,
by the way. So, So Shardell Reinders was running the show back then in Little League at Pulaski Park, and I was playing Little League, and I was a big kid. I was not in the best of shape, but I could hit the ball pretty good. And by the time I was 12 years old, I hit a few, you know, out of the park home runs, some towering shots back in the day nice. That I was quite proud of. Yes, and the season ended, and we went into the city tournament, and we ended up. May have won a game, may have lost a game. I can't remember now. I actually hit a home run in the city tournament game that we played in too. So I'm thinking, nice. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna make, you know, for once. I mean, one of my dreams in Little League at the time, aside from wanting to be a Major League Baseball player at the time, was I just wanted to make an All-Star team. I wanted to be on one of those Morningside Little League All-Star teams that had their name on the back of their shirts, their jerseys. You
sure.
know, there was an important thing back then. It's like, that'd be so cool to have my last name on the back of my jersey. You know. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to be a true all-star. I'm going to be a 12-year-old all-star, you know. So Shardell Reinders also, in addition to heading up the Little League there, she also coached her own team back then, the John Morrell team. Okay, we all had sponsors, so you know, I was on Elks Club. She had the John Morrell team. You played for who back then, Matt?
Stockyards.
Stockyards. Stockyards still had a team back then, too, when I was 12 years old. So... she was also one of the first place teams. So because she was one of the first place teams, she got to coach the All-Star team. And she also got to pick the All-Star team. Well, you see where this story is going. I did not make the All-Star team.
Mm.
I did not get that call. I waited and waited and waited. And then when I found out that the All-Star team was already practicing and I wasn't on it, that was kind of when I realized I wasn't going to be on the team.
That's when it sunk in, huh?
Yeah, that's when it became a reality. But I had one of those guys on my team that I grew up with who, to this day, I still want to just stick a fork in this guy's eye. he was one of those kids, and I know everybody grew up with a kid like this. He was one of those kids that was told way too much how wonderful he was by his parents growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was the one who told me about it. So in the process of, and I played baseball with him too, and he wasn't that great. He told me that the team was already practicing and also said that they asked him to be on the team, but that he had to turn him down because he was going out of town for vacation. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So it wasn't bad enough to let me know that I wasn't on the team, but he was
going to be. You weren't
even
first alternate.
I wasn't even the first. Exactly. So I had to settle for the KFC All-Star team, which was the second level tiered All-Star. Do they still have KFC All-Stars back then?
I was on a KFC team.
Sure. So yeah. You've been a second level All-Star before.
I've been a first level All-Star also. Lucky. I was a KFC when
see?
I was young.
See?
I'm not bragging or anything, but I was only 10.
I did not hit my prime until I was 12 years old, but I had a very good hitting season that year. I should have been an All-Star, but I was slighted because I was a fat kid. That's kind of the way I looked at it. It happened to me in high school. I mean, I went out for the high school team. I mean, I did well in the tryouts. I just didn't make it because my last name wasn't the right last name, and I was just this fat kid. There wasn't, it was just the way it was, you know? So anyway, long story longer, played on the KFC team, did a good job, hit a home run or two there too, you know, at least kind of got a little bit of glory and had some fun, some later summer baseball, you know, stuff like that. Well, let's fast forward, shall we? Let's fast forward about 25 plus years, okay?
Okay.
My mother, my dear mother, who's been on the show before, she was on the old show, we'll have her on again. And in fact, the next time we have her on, which could be sooner than later, this question is going to be posed to her. My mother is heavy now into scrapbooking. Scrapbooking is a big deal these days amongst people of all ages, mainly females, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know many males that do it, but maybe there are some out there that do. My mother is heavily into scrapbooking, and she has a lot of people that she does it with. And a couple of these people are a girl that I went to high school with, as well as her mother. And also, guess who? Shardell Reinders. So Shardell is now a widow, just like my mother is, I believe. So she and her get along well. They spend a lot of time together, especially scrapbooking and things like that. And I've been at my mom now for years. Every time it comes up, I say to her, when are you going to ask Shardell about sliding me from her All-Star team in 1983? And I am serious. I mean, my mom thinks I am kidding. And she's like, finally she goes, why don't you just ask her? I said, well, I just might. And I just,
that'd be awesome.
I really, really, honestly, maybe it'd be even better to do it on the air. I don't know. Oh. It would be something. It really, really would be something. Even Todd likes that idea. Seriously, you feel my pain. You loved baseball too growing up. And you know what kind of a person I am. I don't ask for much. I really, really don't. I mean, I put together a show and I talk about myself a lot, but if it wasn't for Matt on the other end of the horn, you know, appreciating every stupid little thing that I say, God knows where I'd be right now with the show, you know, thank God. You know, I don't ask for much, but there was one thing I wanted as a 12-year-old boy, and that was to be an All-Star. You know,
it would have meant so much to you.
It really would have. It really, really would.
I can just see you sitting there staring at the phone. You're sitting at the kitchen table. Phone's right there on the table, just watching it, and it's like getting darker and darker outside.
It was a rotary phone, by the way. But
of course, it was
83.
Yeah.
You know, but yep. Getting darker and darker outside. That's right. It's true. And, you know, she had like four players from her team on the All-Star team, but not me.
Of course.
Not me. Yeah. So, yeah. We're gonna explore that here in the future. I think we need to ask her because, I mean, honestly, there's two things I want to do before they die. I want to see Glenn Campbell in concert, and I want to ask Shardell Reinders why she slided me from the All-Star team in 1983. So we're going to find out. The clock is ticking. And I'm glad that you remember her and know her too, because it kind of helps, you know, portray the story a little bit better. So there you have it, Matt. Did I let you down with that story?
No, that's okay. A good one. I like that one.
Good. Thank you. Okay, great. So let's take a break, Todd. When we come back, we're going to analyze some tweets. This is going to be good. Are you near your laptop, Matt, so you can get this ready?
We're good.
Okay, good. All right. So take the break. We will be right back.
This is the Brad Wesmar Show. Message me while you're walking, darling, but watch out for the stairs. Whoa. You always have your cell phone out. Use all caps if you want to shout. Text me.
Text me.
Day and night. Text me. Text me. All the time. Text me.
Text me.
Again. Because I'll read anything you write. Text me.
Thank you for listening, all three of you. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad and Perfect Gimpy Matt and Captain Caveman. Why'd you do that? Why do you do that? Why? Why?
It's just for you.
But I don't like it.
I know, that's why I do it.
Hurts my feelings.
It does not. Get out
you
of here.
You slighted him.
He slighted me. Thanks. It's not bad enough that I'm having convulsions thinking about how hurt I was in 1983, but
Lord.
You know what I think about when I think about Pulaski Park, Matt?
What's that?
I think about the sweet smell of the stockyards.
Yep.
I love it. You could not play baseball. I honestly don't play good baseball unless I'm smelling dead pig. I mean, I just don't.
You knew you were in for a long night if there was a strong breeze coming from the west.
Yes, it's true. It's true. That's why they call it Sewer City. If it's not the sewage plant south of there, it's the stockyards. Of course, the stockyards aren't even, they're not doing that anymore.
They're obviously gone.
They're
gone.
Yeah. But back then, man, whew, it was quite the smell at night. But and there's a few times where I saw some dead pig carcasses out there. Yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because my dad used to take my brother and I down, the river kind of ran into a little pond area there, and we would go carp fishing.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, and granted, I mean, I know it's not normal for white guys to do it, but hey, you know, we like the carp. And so we did. We liked it because they put up a good fight, you know. Carps were a good fight for a fisherman. And so we go down there, and every once in a while, we'd peek over the edge over there by the stockyards, and it was kind of, I don't know how to explain it or what I saw, but I remember seeing some dead nasty looking pig carcasses. I mean, I wasn't close to them. They were kind of down the way, but yeah, pretty gross. But
gross.
Yeah. Anyway, and the stockyards is also where my old man taught me to drive there in the parking lot. So,
okay.
So yeah, at least got some good things happening. Good memories of the stockyards, dead pigs and learning to drive and being slighted for an all-star team and carp fishing. Yeah. So, all right, let's move this thing on. You've got it ready to go. We're going to give the website here at the end of the show, but this is a great little Twitter analysis. Oh, hell, we'll just give it now. It's called analyzewords.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Analyzewords.com is the website. And Magic Matt, tell us a little bit about what you're about to do. We're going to go ahead and evaluate some of our tweets first. Is that right?
Right. Well, yeah, basically, well, what it does, like I mentioned before, it gives you a score of 1 to 100 mm-hmm. in these three different categories, and mm-hmm. basically emotionally, and you're socially, like how plugged in you are to everything, and then you're thinking, like how analytical you are, judged on the wording in your tweets.
Right. So it updates, as we discovered, it updates based on your tweets. So, for example, it may say one thing about me today, but in 2 weeks when I'm mad about something, it may say something a little bit different.
Right. And depending on how much you tweet, you probably get a much more specific score because you've got a laundry list of tweets on here, and mine are like a quarter of what you've got.
That's probably true.
Okay. Because you tweet so much more. But anyway, and I suppose the more you do, you know, the numbers wouldn't be quite so drastic, maybe.
That's probably true. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, actually you're pretty balanced.
Really?
Looking at these scores, yeah. Emotionally, like scores of you know, between 1 and 100. Mm-hmm. You were 67.
Okay.
Means for your how upbeat you were.
Okay.
And worried, I thought this would be a little higher for you. But you're like 55 is all. It's pretty average.
Pretty average, yeah. Right in the middle.
Angry, that's one of your higher scores. That was a 70.
Well, it was that Lisa Lampanelli Aubrey O'Day tweet. See, that's what it was. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Depressed, you were to 58.
Wow, right in the middle there. Wow.
Right in the middle again. All right. And then you go down to the social style. That was the emotional stuff. Here's the social style.
Okay.
Plugged in and personable. Both high scores, and they're both the same, 73.
Okay.
Don't score as arrogant, only 52. Don't score as spacey too much, only 58.
Wow.
Then right down the line with your thinking, analytical, 61, sensory, which is, a tendency to reference your feelings and surrounding environment. You're 59.
Hmm.
And in the moment, grounded in what's hot now. You're mm-hmm. a 67, so that was another one of your higher scores.
That's not bad. Yeah. I love the personability part. Now, say that again. What was that personability part? Where was I at on that?
73.
Yeah, yeah. And it said I was in tune and stuff like that. See,
yeah.
And then also about arrogance was where?
Arrogance was just a 52.
See,
that was
actually
your lowest score.
See, people think that I've got an ego. Seriously, not arrogant. And also, I'm in tune. I'm personable. And that's what this whole show is about. I'm trying to relate to everybody through my own stories and our things that we do here for you on this show. See? So, and then my tweets are the same way. See,
I think what these tweets are saying actually is that as on Twitter, you're actually much more balanced than you are in real life.
And on the show. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, honestly, tweeting is great. I'm actually a better tweeter than I am a radio show host. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think anybody would be that way because you can think about, we've talked about this before, you can think about your tweets, you can craft your tweets, and I can't craft crap on this show. It just whatever comes out of my mouth is what comes out of my mouth. And that's the way it is. So I'm actually kind of impressed with that particular score, at least for the current tweets it was evaluating for myself. So
yeah,
not bad.
During football season, I wonder how that is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Or even during baseball season. Yeah. Especially with my Rex Hudler tweets that are going to be coming here, getting worse.
We should check Rex Hudler, see how he scores out on this.
That'd be a good idea if we can find him on there. Yeah. But now I want to find out you. I want to know what it says about. Stop whacking it in there.
What is going on in there?
Even Matt can hear it.
It sounds like you're like doing the show next to like a hotel that charges by the hour.
Hey, now. Hey there. Ooh, yeah. But seriously, get some WD-40 or something, will you? Thank you. That'd be great. Listen, you hear him? He's nodding. Go ahead, nod. Well, no, I heard.
Great
no,
radio.
I could hear it nod. Yeah, you can hear it squeak when you nod.
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
It's great. Terrible.
Matt, let's evaluate your tweets.
Well, for me.
Wait. Todd, seriously. I got one of your hairs in here.
I'm beginning to think he's like that guy in Dallas about the rug last week.
Stop it. Nobody even knows what you're talking about there.
Go listen to the archive.
What? No, that wasn't on the air. That wasn't on the air, jackass.
Oh, well, never mind.
Jeez. But I found one of your hairs here. What? This is disgusting. You do wash your hair every day, right?
Yes.
Liar. Okay, Matt.
Ew, fool.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. Please.
Oh, that's all right.
Evaluate.
I scored as positive. A 79. One of my highest scores.
Wow, yeah.
It was my second highest score. My lowest score was angry, only a 17.
Wow, you're not very angry at all.
No, I'm very pleasant.
My God, you're like your mother. You're like, you're positive. Yeah, what? Not angry. What? Wow.
Twitter personality is my mom.
That's hilarious. Okay, what else?
But I'll just do the drastic stuff. Plugged in and personable, though, were kind of low, 33 and a 39. Wasn't very personable.
Wow.
Engaged in other people's well-being and at peace with expressing your own uncertainty about the world. Anyway.
It's not bad.
My highest score was in sensory, which was the tendency to reference your feelings and surrounding environment. That was an 83.
That's high.
Yeah. Everything else is kind of like yours. Low 50s,
okay.
Low 60s.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Guys, like you're giving the forecast there, high 60s, low 60s. Overnight, 75 degrees. Bright sunshine tomorrow and 75. Right now in Sioux City, it's 69 degrees. Wait, assume the position.
There it is.
There we go.
Wait for that.
That's right. Sorry. Okay. So, shall we move on to somebody else?
Let's move on to, I'm trying to do Todd Sheets' Jackalope Radio.
Okay.
But it's not working.
It's not coming
so
up.
Apparently he doesn't do it enough or something.
Okay. That could be.
But here's one for you, though.
Okay.
Your boy, Peter King.
Oh, yeah. I forgot How'd about like Peter King. One? Wait a minute. Hey, everybody. This is Peter King. We're about to analyze my tweets. All right. Go right ahead, Magic Man.
Peter King scored in the 80s in Worried, Angry, and Personable. He's very worried and angry.
He's angrily worried.
And he's almost back into the, he's in the high or upper 70s, in the spacey Valley Girl category and also in the analytical category.
Was it you that pointed out that tweet of his to me a few months ago where somebody asked him about whether he was going to the Sports Illustrated yes. swimsuit thing, and he said, no, not my thing. Is that? Yeah.
That was me.
How is the Sports Illustrated swimsuit party not your thing as a guy?
That's everyone's thing.
No kidding. Gay.
I think it's a lot of girls' thing.
I'm worried about Peter King.
Gay.
But what else? Anything else important there on Peter King?
Not really. Okay. That's the highlights
That's good.
Of him.
Okay. Very good. What else are you thinking of evaluating here?
Let's look up, how about one of your apprentice friends?
Oh, you
Lisa
do.
Lampinelli.
Lisa Lampafatti. Okay. Good. Is that bad? Is that rude? Okay.
I don't even know who she is, to be honest with you.
Don't you? You're not missing much. Todd likes her, but you know, as a comedian, and she can be funny. But now let's see what does analyzewords.com say about Lisa Lampinelli's tweets?
What do you think? What category do you think she scores the highest in?
Well, is there a narcissistic category? That would actually be Aubrey O'Day. We got to check her out too.
There is. There's that arrogant category.
Okay. Now I actually feel that Aubrey O'Day comes off even more arrogant. But no, you know what? Lisa Lampinelli, she's got an inferiority complex. You know, she's got to score high in arrogance. She has to.
So that's what you're saying? You're going to go with arrogant?
Well, what are my other choices again? I forgot.
You got upbeat, worried, angry, depressed, plugged in, personable, arrogant, spacey, analytical, sensory, or in the moment.
What was that second or third one? That was
angry.
She's either angry or arrogant or both. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you credit. Angry was her highest, a 90.
Okay. Wow.
90 out of 100.
Wow. She is one pissed off fat chick. Wow. Okay. Okay. Yep.
And then she also scored highly in plugged in, which was you know, you get a lot of scores in the plugged-in category. You get higher scores for, like, how frequently you shout out to your friends or, you know, use their Twitter handles and stuff like that.
Sure.
That was an 88 for her.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, she's up in this upper to high 60s, mid-70s in upbeat, personable, arrogant, sensory.
So she is kind of high in arrogance, too, then, you're saying?
Yeah. She's not depressed or worried, either, though, if you go by this.
Could be a facade. All right, that's good. Do you have Aubrey O'Day handy? Can you?
I do.
Okay,
she is pretty consistent right down the board.
Really,
she's in the 60s up to about 80 in just about every single category except for worried and depressed. Those are lower scores.
Okay,
everything else is fairly high for her.
So what is her? What is your arrogant? Is it in the 60s?
61.
That's
actually, it's the same as Lisa Lampinelli.
Okay, but if you took everything that Lisa Lampinelli and Aubrey O'Day said on Celebrity Apprentice and you tweeted it, I guarantee you that their arrogance would be at 140. I guarantee it. I'm serious. So, and Matt, you wouldn't know because you've only watched the first episode of Celebrity Apprentice, but believe me, it's true. So
I'm going to have to take your word for that.
Sure. What else? Well, who else do you have on your list that you want to check out since we can't check
Let's
out?
Let's see. Check How about out? The official of the Barack Obama's official.
Oh, this would be okay. Yes,
the president. Actually, a lot of low scores.
Really,
low and worried, low and angry, low and depressed. Apparently, he doesn't have to buy his own gas.
Yeah, no kidding.
Low and personable.
Low and personable. That's great.
Yep. Guess what his highest score is? This has got to be the easiest one.
In tune.
No, arrogant.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't
that
something?
That's the only one he has up in the 60s.
Wow.
He's actually, according to this, he's exactly the same amount of arrogance as Lisa Lampanelli and Aubrey O'Day.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's interesting.
Here, let's check out another one. How about Charlie Sheen?
Oh, God.
This ought to be good.
It should be interesting.
Oh, Upbeat, 83.
Really?
Yeah. His lowest was Depressed and Worried. And analytical, believe it or not.
Oh, Charlie Sheen.
Plugged In, he was high. Well, his score was high.
did you do that on purpose?
That was accidental. Yeah, so in Arrogant, he was fairly high too. But you probably plug in just about everybody in Hollywood.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
You got any requests?
I do. I've got a couple on my mind. First of all, what about my buddy? We got to look up PSA Prez.
PSA Prez.
Still not really sure what that means, but we got to look him up.
I still don't understand why Jackalope won't work. I've got quite a few tweets now.
Yeah, but what happens, we were testing it here before the show. And we were having some issues, and it's not, I think it's more the site than anything.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. So don't.
I will look. I'll keep trying it a little bit, Todd.
We'll see. We'll see, Todd.
Brandon, my buddy.
My buddy. We should be playing the music. I had some Barack Obama clips I wanted to play that we played on this show here about a year ago, and I didn't have them handy. So instead, let's get a handy from.
My buddy.
Let's go ahead and analyze his tweets, please.
Well, his lowest score was just a 52, so it's not that terribly low, but that was for Upbeat.
Mr. Depression himself. Yeah.
Arrogant, that was his second lowest. He's a 60.
Okay.
The highest one by far, an 86, was Plugged In.
Really?
Yeah.
Brandon is plugged in.
He is socially engaged, it says.
Wow.
Yeah. And then pretty much everything else is upper 60s to low 70s.
It's funny because if I had the time, I would go to Facebook and I would go ahead and read right down the list of my buddy's Facebook posts. And half of them are, this day's really sucked. Oh, I got to go home and I got such a headache. I've got a migraine. Oh, this day has really stunk. I'm really mad at customers. I want to kill somebody. Oh, this day has been, I'm so happy I get to go home to my wife and my child because today's been a really bad day. It's like when you read his post, it's like you're reading Eeyore.
Droopy dog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah. So true story. But anyway, okay. What about our good friend Chris Kamler? I believe he is now the fake Ned, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound right?
You are correct. That's what it is.
All right. Now look, I'm not going to predict. I just want you to go ahead and go down the line and tell us what you see. Okay.
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 Upbeat, Worried, and Angry, all about the same.
Okay.
64 to 72 in that range. Depressed is his lowest score, and that's a 59.
Okay.
His highest score is the next up, Plugged In.
Oh, well, that makes sense. So, he does a lot. He does a lot of, you said Plugged In is the one where if you tweet people by name, is that what you
right.
said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes sense. That makes sense.
Personable, Arrogant, Spacey, In the Moment, those are all about the same, roughly, within a few points of each other.
How high?
How high?
Yeah.
Personable, 73. Arrogant, 67. Spacey, 72. In the Moment, 66.
So you're saying fake Ned Yost is more arrogant than I am, by quite a bit.
Yeah. What was your score again?
52, I think.
Yeah.
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 Just wanted to make sure we established that.
Much more arrogant.
I'm saying that, assuming that he's still one of our listeners. Yeah, yeah. But, okay. All right, anything else there about him?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
The really interesting ones are the real high scores and the real low scores.
Yeah, exactly.
The lowest score we've seen to date, though, is still my angry score of only a 17.
That's something. I mean, I can't believe you're not that angry.
I can't believe it either. I just don't take things that seriously, I guess.
They're not. You know why? You haven't been tweeting about the Dolphins much lately.
That's right. Yeah. Give me a football season.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or when I was a Cubs fan, my angry and depressed, they'd all be up around 100.
Oh, just wait till you hear Rex Hudler. Then you'd be plenty mad.
Speaking of.
Oh, nice yes.
Rex. Yeah. What is his?
Oh, I believe it's the Wonder Dog.
Wonder Dog, that's what it is. I couldn't remember what his nickname was.
Which I believe a few weeks ago I tweeted the Wonder Tard because that's yes. kind of what I think he is more than anything yes. is the Wundertard. So, and you, by the way, you asked me last week on the show because you still haven't heard him yet. Nope. Why is he so bad? One of the things is he's just loud. It's like instead of being soft, he's too hard. He's way too loud on the, and it doesn't mix well. And then you've got this new play-by-play guy, and it's horrible. It's just a brutal broadcast to go from Ryan Lefevre and Frank White, which was just so on an even keel, nice level, interesting, you know, not hard to listen to. And that's what it boils down to. Somebody had tweeted about Rex Hudler during preseason, and they said, he sounds like the jackass behind me at a ball game that I try to tune out for 9 innings. And that's exactly what he sounds like. It's brutal. So what do his tweets say?
Well, he is very, very, very upbeat. An 88.
There's a big shock. See, yep. that's the big knock on him is he's a homer. See?
Yeah.
So whatever team he's doing, he will be the homer. And so it's contrite. It's not real for him to be a big Royals guy. And nobody believes it. I don't believe it. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, he's not a Royal.
No.
So, I mean, why is he such a homer already after, what, a few weeks of spring training?
Exactly. Because that's what he thinks he's supposed to do.
So, I could see how that could come across fake.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
But his worried, angry, and depressed scores are really low, 19, 22, and 19. Mm-hmm. His arrogant, this is one of the higher arrogant scores we've had, 77.
Oh, yeah.
That might be the highest arrogant score we've had.
I think it might be the Wunderdog. Yeah.
Yep. But other than that, nothing.
Okay.
He's not very plugged in either, according to this.
I'm shocked by that, too.
Yeah.
Totally shocked by that.
How about Eric Hosmer?
All right. Let's do Eric Hosmer. That'd be good. Yeah.
He's fairly kind of like yours, actually.
Well, there's a shock.
Pretty much right down the middle.
It makes sense.
Except his depressed is pretty low, but why wouldn't it be?
It makes sense about Eric Hosmer because, you know, Eric Hosmer won the Mark DeRosa Award, correct? I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, by the way, people, you should read Magic Matt at noobdoodle.com. That's noob, N00B, doodle.com. And his columns are fantastic. And a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned the Mark DeRosa, what did you say, Mark DeRosa Award? Is that?
Yeah, the Mark DeRosa Award for the American League, I split it between Jeff Francoeur and Eric Hosmer.
And that award basically comes to professional athletes that you would like to be best friends with or good friends with. Is that right?
Yeah, professional athletes or celebrities.
Celebrities, right.
Basically that present all the qualities that I imagine in a pretend best friend.
Exactly. And so it stands to reason. It stands to reason to me that Eric Hosmer, your Mark DeRosa in the American League Award winner, would also have the same type of Twitter analysis at analyzewords.com as I do.
Yes.
It makes sense. It makes sense. So
it makes complete sense. See, he's very worthy of the award.
I think so.
I think that just proves it.
Hit the nail on the head or the head on the nail or whatever. So, yeah. So, anybody else there that you want to do before we go to another break? Because
unless you've got a request, I have covered just about everybody.
Yeah, I think that's good for now. I mean, everybody else can go ahead and check it out themselves if they'd like to at analyzewords.com. And we actually owe that particular website to Mr. Afkar. And it's funny because Afkar's not been on the show. And he now listens to public radio because that's his kind of thing. And he came across this and presented it to me. So thank you, Jared Afkar, for that in your absence. We appreciate it and have enjoyed it. Maybe from time to time, we'll pull that website up if we need to analyze anybody else that we may think of. So keep that one handy, Matt.
I will do that.
Okay. Let's take a break when we come back. But keep Twitter handy there. Please pull up Twitter for us because I'm going to have you do some more dirty deeds for us on Twitter before we end the show. So we'll take a break. We will be right back.
The Brad Westmore Show will be right back.
And now, Job Search. A public service to help the unemployed find jobs. Here's today's Job Search candidate.
Hello, I'm looking for a position in the airport security industry. I'm really good with my hands. I'm a real people person and I grasp things easily, you know, like theories, concepts, crotches, whatever. Some people think I can be a little too touchy-feely, but can you be? I sure don't think so. If you need a background check, that's no problem. I'm listed in several state and federal databases. Oh.
If your business has a position for this job search candidate, call this station today.
If you think this show is precious, then that's really gay. The Brad Wismar Show.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to the Brad Wismar Show. Brad, Matt, and Todd Sheets here in studio and glad to be along with you. Now, another thing that has kind of come to mind for me from our radio days. And you tweeted something about this one time, and I knew that it was only you and me and nobody else on Twitter got it, but you mentioned something about back in the day about, go ahead, and you know where I'm going with this. I'll let you right. tell the story because it comes better from you because you're the one who recalled it. So I'll let you tell what I'm alluding to here. Go ahead.
Well, okay, I'm going to need your help explaining some of it.
Okay.
But, we used to have, there was another guy that worked with us in a radio station. His name is Mike Logan.
Crazy guy. Yeah.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, he was.
He was, I don't know how much older he was than us. Do you?
He was probably at least 10 to 12 years, maybe even more older than me. He's probably maybe 50. I mean, he may be in his mid 50s by now. Yeah.
I was going to say, he's probably about what you are now, but back then when we were 16, 17, and 22, he was probably pushing 40.
Yeah. Yeah. 30. Yeah, he was in the late 30s. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. But he was a really funny guy. And he always used to, he started this game where we would replace the word dubs and put dubs into song titles. And do you want to explain what a dub
well,
is?
Well, yeah, what it was, and I've talked about this on the show before, but it's been a while, is we would do commercials back then. We'd have to make commercials. So we would either, two different types of commercials. You either get to cut the commercial, which was always the funnest thing to do because you get to kind of use your creativity with it. And or you would do a dub. And a dub was basically that a reel-to-reel would come in from the agency or from the client, usually from the agency, and it would be a reel-to-reel with the commercial already on the reel-to-reel because some other station has cut it or some agency has cut it. And you would take that reel-to-reel and you would put it on the little cart machine and tape it to the cart, and then they would use that cart for the commercial on the air. So we would just call those dubs. It basically means, well, recording, basically. It's a dub. So... that's
and they
where
were real tedious.
They were very tedious, a pain in the ass. And Mike Logan was the dub king because he was often the morning show guy, and he would do the morning show and he would talk for 3.5 hours and nobody would have any idea what he had just said, but everybody inside the radio station knew it was funny. And then his next job was to sit there and they'd give him all the dubs. He would just be there with piles and piles of reel-to-reels and dubs to make and put on the commercial carts. So I think that's why he started doing this. And so now, did he do it on the air or would he just do it just kind of rambling on and on in the studio and through the hallways?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, he kind of just did it, you know, when we were just being privately off the air, he would do it and just keep referencing it all the time. He'd always give different songs a dub name, like you give dubs a bad name.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, wherever there was the word love, he would put dubs.
With dubs, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I had totally forgotten about that until you had tweeted that one time. And so then it brought to mind the fact that Twitter has taken this a long time ago. They did not steal this from Mike Logan, but they have done a good job of this as well on Twitter, and it's very fun to do. They've got very similar things that they will do on Twitter. And the most recent one that I partook in here several weeks ago was replace movie titles with penis. And the hashtag is so funny. And I had a heyday with it and I was having a good time one night. And Matt, if you ever get in on any of those, they're pretty fun. So what I've asked you to do very quickly here before the end of the show is go ahead and pull up that hashtag, replace movie titles with penis. And let's see what happens to be there. And as we go through it, we can maybe come up with some of our own too. What one grabs you right? You were laughing during the break. What ones are coming up right now?
Well, the first one is Harry Potter and the Deathly Penis.
That's great.
Or Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Penis.
That's bad. That's
Harry
great.
Potter and the Penis of Fire.
All right, stop with the Harry Potter.
Here we go.
It's good. Here, wait, I got one for you.
All right.
Penis Wars. See? You can have so much fun with these. Go ahead. What else you got?
This one I like. Bill and Ted's Excellent Penis.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Oh, my gosh.
Ferris Bueller's Penis Off. No, that's not right. That doesn't sound very good. But what else? Let me see. We got over here. Well, you could do TV shows.
Oh, gosh. Here's one. Edward Penis Hands.
Edward Penis Hands. There you go.
That's a real movie.
It's a porno. It was directed by Shad Teets, the porno director.
Not at all. No.
No.
I only know because a buddy of mine had a poster that he had gotten from some store of that. Yeah, it was a video store poster of that.
Edward Penis Hands.
Edward Penis Hands.
It was a porn.
It probably was.
It was a porn. Oh, yeah. Clearly.
Oh, my gosh.
Funny poster, though.
What else you got there, Matt?
Oh, Honey, I Shrunk the Penis.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
God. The Wizard of Penis.
Wizard of Penis. Sure. How about Gone with the Penis?
Yes. You know?
What else?
The Emperor's New Penis.
The Emperor's New Penis. That's good. Well, you could take Batman. You could just call him Penis Man.
What?
You know?
Instead of Iron Man 2, Iron Penis 2.
Iron Penis. There you go. Oh, man.
Dude, where's my penis?
There you go. See? This deserves a little bit of this. Yeah.
Oh, well, this is definitely league-ish.
It is. And you can also... I'm trying to think of some of the other ones, because there was one time where they were replacing love with something else. I don't remember what it was. It may have been vagina, for all I remember. I don't really... Now, that wouldn't have made any sense, but... trying to think of some more movies. Help me. Some more movie titles.
Man, I'm trying to go back here and see if I can find the year old ones.
Yeah, I mean...
Because it cut me off. It doesn't let me go too far back.
Okay.
You could always use The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Penis.
There you go.
Yeah.
Something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. All right. How about... Here's one for you. How about Penis Razor?
Oh, my God.
Is that Hellraiser? Yeah.
That's frightening.
No. Nightmare on Penis Street.
Nah, there you go.
Faster Penis Kill Kill.
Faster Penis Kill Kill. That's great.
Oh,
God. They could go on forever. I mean, you could do these forever. And they're fun because people will hashtag it, and then you just tweet it, and then that prompts somebody else to see it, and then they'll do one, and then they'll do one. And you don't even have to check the hashtag. You just check your timeline because you get some other, you know, followers that are doing it with you and everything else, and it can be pretty fun.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Whenever they get something going like that.
But Close Encounters of the... No, that ain't going to work. The Third Penis? Yeah. trying to think of some other ones. Oh,
there's plenty of them. Back to the Penis.
Back to the Penis. There you go.
Lord, the Penis Strikes Back.
The Penis. How about The Empire Strikes Penis?
That's better.
Return of the Penis?
Big Penis in Little China.
God. Oh, I got it. Big one starring Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, Lethal Penis.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, man. It could go on forever.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Penis.
What's that?
The sixth penis.
Yeah. Oh, what about Penis Hard?
Here we go. I found yours.
What's that?
I found the ones you did.
Oh, you did? Okay, before you read them, it's probably in there. Bruce Willis's movie Penis Hard. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, found some of mine though, huh? What what did I do that night?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Penis.
Thank you. Laughing at myself. Sorry.
Penis Grit.
Yeah, because I watched True Grit with Glenn Campbell. Yeah.
And Slap Penis.
Slap Penis. Yeah, I did a slap shot. Yeah.
You actually did Back to the Penis on here.
I did. Okay. There you go.
Yep.
See?
That's about it.
Yeah. I like it. What was the first one you said again? Oh, hidden
tiger.
Crouching penis. Oh, wait. No, crouching tiger, hidden penis. Hidden tiger, crouching penis? No.
Never mind.
That wouldn't be good at all. Matt, it's always a pleasure. I hope your knee continues to get better, my friend.
Thank you. A little bit better every day.
Good. Good to hear, as are my peepers as well. And Todd, always a pleasure to have you here, too.
Good to know.
I love you, man. You got the Superman shirt on today? Is that what that is?
I do.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Why don't you get some WD-40 before next week?
I'll try.
Okay, thank you. I'm Brad Westmar saying thank you for joining us. In the future, maybe we'll call this show something different. Like the Brad Westmar Show featuring Matt. Or kind of like Careless Whisper. Remember it was like Wham, but it was like featuring George Michael. They never actually called it Wham featuring George Michael. If you go back and look on the Billboard Hot 100 back in 1984, 1985, they called it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Wham featuring George Michael.
Scary.
Yeah. And it'd be different, though, if this was called The Magic Matt Show featuring Brad Westmar. It would imply that it's your show, but I'm the one doing all the talking. So,
right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Right. Maybe oh, not. Hey, one more Mike Logan reference.
Yes, quickly.
He's actually the one that gave me the Magic Matt nickname.
Oh, is he really?
Yep, that's where it started.
I thought it was me after all these years. I had no idea. Very yep. Cool. God bless Mike Logan. I hope he's still alive. Once again, thanks for joining us. I'm Brad Westmar for Magic Matt and for Todd Sheets. Thank you for joining us. Good night. In this tragedy.